Today we're going to look at three parables in Matthew 25. They're about being ready for the Lord's return. And I pray that everybody in my ministry, anybody that I've had any influence at all on, especially those that I love that are here in my family and in my direct association, I want you to be ready when Jesus comes. That's the only reason I'm here, to be honest with you. That's the reason sacrifices are made. That's the reason we pay the price. We must be prepared to meet the bridegroom as the wise virgins did in Matthew chapter 25. Because we want to talk about them. How they went forward to meet the bridegroom when a cry went out. They had oil in their lamps, and their lamps were lit. I pray that nobody's light burns out before Jesus comes. I pray that we remain a burning light and we let our light shine until Jesus comes. Amen? We must also develop and use the God-given potential that God has bestowed upon every one of us. There is no excuse for not doing what God wants us to do. We might have 100 reasons why things ain't working our way, but God has given us the ability to do what He requires us to do. Every one of us. But we all have different abilities, different talents. So may we use our talents and not hide them as the one servant did in the parable of the talents. We'll look at that today. And we must produce the works of righteousness as those that were counted as sheep of His pasture. The Lord has said He would set the sheep on His right hand, and He would set the goats on His left hand. This is the parable of the separation of the sheep and goats. So those three parables I'm going to look at. So we'll start with Matthew 25, verse 1 through 13. And this is the parable of the 10 virgins. It's about using our brain to secure what you already have. You can lose what God has given you. They say if you don't use it, you lose it. But anytime somebody has something, we want to protect it. We want to secure it. So you have to first get it to secure it, don't you? So we need to be prepared as the preppers. They call them preppers. Have you heard of preppers? Prepper is a person that believes the end of the world is coming. He may or may not be a Christian or a churchgoer. And you don't have to be a churchgoer. You don't have to be filled with the Holy Ghost if you're living in this world to know that time is growing near and God is coming. The end is near. Things that will come between us and Jesus, that will come between us and each other, that will destroy our relationship with Jesus. It's worth protecting. We can't protect it by not coming to church and not reading our Bible and not praying. We need to watch and pray, the Bible tells us. And we need to be waiting, as these brides were waiting for the groom to come. In those days, that's what would happen. There would be a spousal, an agreement to marry, but the groom had to go off and he had to make sure he had a dowry that he could afford, and he would come back to get that bride when he was ready. These brides, or these virgins, there were 10 virgins waiting on the bridegroom to come. And the problem was, some of them were wise and some were foolish. Some were prepared and they had sufficient oil and all that. We're going to look at them, but I want to kind of give you an example. The Pony Express is a good example of something that we had to prepare for, and about the time we got everything set up, it only lasted for 18 months. And people were risking their lives. They had to run every 15 miles they had to have a station between Missouri, St. Joseph, Missouri, and California, Sacramento, California. And when they would ride their horses, they would ride at full gallop, and the horse would only last about 15 miles running that fast. So when they come into a station, the master that had that station, he had to be ready for that rider to come in. He had to have a fresh horse that was mounted up and ready to go and watered and all that. And as that man come in, when he got within sound range of his voice, he began to yell that he was on his way. He began to cry out. And there was a cry made when Jesus came too. The Bible says it was at midnight. Midnight is considered the worst time possible for somebody to come. Amen. I don't like anybody seeing me after 10. Sometimes I go to bed at 9, but 12 o'clock you might get hurt. But he would cry out, and he would either come out with a fresh horse if that guy was going to continue riding, or there would be a new rider ready to grab the bag and pass it on and go on. And they turned a trip that normally in the past had taken something like 2 months. They had to send a letter by way of boat down around to South America and up to California. So it took 2 months to get it there. And this way they did it in 2 days. So it was a miracle. But it had to be a lot of thought, and they had to be watching and waiting for that to make it work. They had to be ready for it. And the same is true of these 10 virgins that were waiting on Jesus to come, or the bridegroom. What made the difference between them was some was wise and some was fool. They were all virgins. They were all waiting on the Lord. So virgins mean they were righteous. They were waiting on the Lord. They were watching and waiting. They had oil. They all had oil in their lamps originally in the beginning. They were all on equal footing. All 10 virgins. And this is symbolic of the church. In the beginning, they were all kind of equal. They all had the Holy Ghost. That's what the oil represents. In their lamps. That's what keeps the light burning, is the oil in the lamp. They all When they heard the cry, they all got up and trimmed their wick. That means they put it in order. It can also mean that they make it look pretty. But there's a lot of people like to make it look like they're Christians, but their life is not in order. They're not living the life that Jesus wants them to live. They're really not ready. So they all got up, though, and they trimmed their wicks. They did what they were supposed to do. But the foolish virgins did not have oil in their lamp. During the night, now some people say that their light went out, but it doesn't say their light went out. You assume it did because they were asleep. But remember, they're waiting on the bridegroom to come. So maybe, I'm telling you, if I'm waiting on Jesus and I know when he's coming, I may not go to sleep. But it did say they all slept and they all slumbered. So they're all equal. We all fall asleep. We all get down and we're not spiritually in tune as we should be. But what made the difference between the brides that the groom took that were ready and the ones that were not is the wise virgins had oil in their vessels with their lamps. What that means is they not only had oil in their lamps, but they had an extra can of oil with them. So in case these were preppers, they were ready for the unexpected. I tell a person, you need to have the Holy Ghost to be ready for Jesus. The Bible says if this Spirit, which was in Jesus, is in you, it will quicken or resurrect your bodies. Do you know what's going to raise you in the air on the rapture? What's going to get you out of the grave and raise you up to go to heaven? It's going to be the power of the Holy Ghost. And if you don't have it, you don't have that power. So you need to prepare yourself by being filled with the Holy Ghost. You've got to get oil in your lamp. Some people say, well, that's enough. I've got oil in my lamp. I'm ready. And they go through life. And they never get refilled. Folks, we leak. We use what God has given us. God gives you the power, but every place, power is used up. We need to do what's extra. The message here is that those that are going to be taken when Jesus comes are those that are going to be prepared for the unexpected. The early church believed Jesus would be back within their lifetime. Within a matter of 30 years. It's been over 2,000 years since Jesus resurrected. The church is over 2,000 years old. And the Bible says toward the end, people are going to get weary. They're going to sleep. They're going to slumber. They're going to fall away. They're not going to have light. And at midnight, at the darkest hour, is when they're going to need their light. It's those dark hours, church, that you need to have that extra power of the Holy Ghost. You not need to just have the Holy Ghost. You need to be full of the Holy Ghost. You need to have a reserve. You need to be prayed up. And you need to be set aside. Amen. You see, the wise man built his house upon the stone, the rock. But he was prepared to get it. He paid the extra price. You see, when you consider living for God, and you know not what hour the master is going to come, You need to always be ready. And you can't get used up and at the time you need the power of the Holy Ghost the most is when you raise up and go out to meet the groom and you find that there's no oil in your lamp. And you did not have a reserve. You did not have sufficient spiritual resources to get you through till Jesus come. You see, the wise had oil extra. And the foolish virgin says, "Give us some of your oil." They wanted to get the power from others. Folks, I've seen people come to church. They have not experienced any great religious awakening in their life, but they love to go around where other people are filled for the Holy Ghost. They like to have the shout. They like to have the dance. They like to have all the miracles, but they don't do it in their own life. What those that are filled with the Holy Ghost have, amen, the miracles, the healing, the things that happens, amen, people come to me sometime and they want me to pray for them. I mean, you got the power, Brother Stinnett. But I'm telling you, I get my power from the same place you get yours, and it's just as easy for you to get yours as it is for me to get mine. Don't sit back and sleep. And let somebody else get your spiritual blessing for you. Because it's not going to happen. They said, you're going to have to go by it yourself. We've heard the cry, but I may not have enough to last myself. See, every man, every woman's got to look out for themselves. Let every man work out his own salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, you've got to be ready. You've got to secure what you've got. And you've got to have sufficient quantities of spiritual strength to make it through the end. The Bible says, pray that you be counted worthy to escape those things that's coming upon this world. It's not coming to try the church. It's coming to try this world. But if you ain't going out, the Bible says, the wise virgins went in and the door was shut. And they were five left out. Do you know if that represented the church, the whole church, that means half the church is going to miss the rapture. And I believe 90% of the sinners out here think they're going to make the rapture. The truth is they're not prepared. They're not ready. They're not watching. And they don't have sufficient spiritual strength to get them through it. Church, you need the Holy Ghost. And you need to be full of it. If you look through the book of Acts, everybody that had anything going for them was full of Amen. The Holy Ghost. Let's move on to the next one, which we find in Matthew 25, verse 14 through 31. It's the parable of the talents. It's about increasing what you have by developing the potential that God gave you. What that's saying is God has given everybody the potential to be saved. Now, when you look at things, well, it appears that with the 10 virgins, everything started out even, didn't it? They all had the same stuff. It's just that some got extra, didn't they? And some didn't go after the extra. They didn't go the extra mile. They didn't pray extra. God's not just asking you to do enough to get by. He wants you to do that plus more. You need to have a little reserve power. And that's what made the difference. The wise had extra. But now, whereas the virgins were starting out equal and their wisdom separated the wise from the foolish and gave them extra, so they were no longer equal, are they? In the parable of the talents, everybody starts out unequal. One began with 5 talents. Another had 2 talents. And another only had 1 talent. Folks, the reality of this world is that some people are blessed with advantages that others don't have. We're not all Donald Trump. We don't all have a rich daddy that can give us a few $1,000,000 and let us start our own business and end up being the president after we've already become a billionaire. Not all of us have silver spoons in our mouth. A lot of us are born into homes and situations that really makes it difficult to live for God. We don't have the same blessings. But one thing about the gospel is God don't judge you on what you don't have. He judges you on what you have. Just like He doesn't judge you on how much you gave today. When He looked at the woman that had just a few pennies, the widow's mite, and He looked at all these other people, they were making a big scene about all that they were given. And this widow gave her mite, just a few pennies. And Jesus said, He was watching, and He says, she gave more than all the rest. See, God don't look at what you give. He looks at what you have to give. And how much of that do you give? There's people here, I believe, there ain't a person in this room, if they won the multi-million mega jackpot lottery or something like that, that they wouldn't say, well, I'll give you 10%, Brother Stannard, or $10,000 for the church or something like that. I know there's people like that. Boy, if I ever come rich, I'm going to give you. But, see, God knows, amen, that when you give 10% of a dollar, it's only a dime. But He said that's just as much as 10% of Donald Trump's billion. 10% is 10%. And it's the same in God's eyes. And what He says, this woman gave more. I think God wants us to give more. But it's not who gives the most that matters to God, because all of it belongs to Him. What He wants to see is those giving of their own, you know, what they have. You can't give what you don't have. You can't give the Holy Ghost to somebody that don't have the Holy Ghost. You've got to pay the price to get it yourself. You've got to consider the cost. You see, the 10 virgins had to purchase that extra oil. They all started out with the same, but they had to purchase the extra. Here, you've got a disadvantage. But God's saying, I only expect you to use what you have. Use the potential. We all have a potential. See, the Bible says the master, when he went away, he gave all these people according to their ability. So the man that got 5 talents was able to handle 5 talents. There's some of you wouldn't be able to handle $1,000,000 if God gave it to you. It would totally ruin your life. I'd like to try. But the demands that are placed, that God asks you to do, He asks those that have much, He says, He asks more. And those that have the least, He asks less. And the problem here is the man that got 5 talents, he was able to double that and get 10 talents when he invested it. So God wants you to invest what He has given you, your potential, and invest it and produce the fruit of it. And this man with 5 was able to get 10. The man with two was able to get five, I think. And the man with one, he should have been able to get two. He should have been able to double it. But you know what he did? He said, I hid it. I went and buried it because I didn't want to lose it. You see, but it's almost like the opposite of what he was saying in the parable of the ten virgins. You know, he's saving. He's securing what he has. That was the point with the virgins, right? But don't just secure what you have. Get extra. Secure what you have, then go after more. And then make your calling and election sure, but then go on and try to serve God in a higher capacity. This guy is saying, I'm just going to take what I've got, the talent that God has given me. That could be money, it could be skills, it could be money, any number of things. It's potential that will improve your condition, that will make you a better person. Everybody's able to do better. Everybody's able to do greater things. Even Jesus said, you'll do greater things than me. Because he knew the potential he was giving us. He was giving us the power, the same power he had, the power of the Holy Ghost. And there's millions of us with the Holy Ghost. Of course we should be able to do greater. The reality of the gospel is God doesn't hold you accountable for what you don't have. He holds you accountable for using and developing the talent and skills that you have. He give it to us based on our ability to handle it. So if you've got something, and you say, I ain't got nothing, Brother Stennett. Well, the widow didn't have much either. But she gave all she had. That was the point. If you put all you have into what God is leading you to do, then he has enabled you to do it. And you will achieve it. Nothing will stop you. Just don't try to do more than you're able. That's why I can worry about Wendy here. I know I was like, my only concern is I wish I had her energy. I wish I had her skills. I wish I had all this stuff. I'm like, what can I do with all that? Well, I didn't do nothing with it when I had it, did I? See, that's the whole point of the thing. And who knows, she may do more than what she's doing. I mean, it may appear as a lot to us. And I'm not just bragging on you. Don't get a big head, though. Your head may be bigger than you think. but you know, that's the thing. We have the potential. God has given us that power. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to. But don't think any less of yourself than you ought to either. Because God is, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. There's not another like you in the entire world. And when you're gone, there'll never be another you in this world.